Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is John Bautista, and you are listening to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where we believe that being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. We've had an incredible first season of episodes. We've answered questions that people have submitted. We brought on guests from other practices that we partner with. And most importantly, we continue striving to be savvy about the way that we relate to one another. As we head into this holiday season's break, we want to thank you for being listeners and subscribers. You are one of the main reasons the Marriage Savvy Podcast exists. Our founder and CEO, Kim Bowen, has a heart to share not just her knowledge of relationships, but also the encouragement she has experienced by doing the hard work it takes. Before we get into our last episode of Season 1, be on the lookout for Season 2 coming early 2025, where we will continue our goal of strengthening relationships and marriages. I've been your co-host, John Bautista, and we will see you in Season 2. Peace. Hey, what's going on, guys? My name is John Bautista, and you are listening to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. In today's episode, Kim is going to come and review an aspect of Julie Manano's book, Secure Love. Secure Love is a book that is kind of a crash course in understanding how people show up in relationships and guides them on how getting out of negative cycles to find safety in one another can be. And in this episode, Kim is going to be addressing four aspects of connection that are mentioned in Julie's book. Coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and or mental illness. Hey, Kim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, John.
Okay, so I'm curious, where are you these days?
Well, right now I'm not in anywhere sexy, just Athens, Texas.
Oh, I wanted you to say Athens, Greece.
Athens, Greece. Yeah, I wouldn't be in the RV in Athens, Greece, but Athens. Yeah. My husband is decided to start a business. He's pretty excited. So we're here. He's getting some training, and that's what we're doing.
Well, something that I'm excited for today is what you wanted to bring to the table, which is the four C's of connection. Now, I know connection as something that, you know, whenever people are vulnerable and they let their guard down and they tell each other, you know, how they're feeling and what they desire, that's a point of connection. But what you're saying today is that there's actually more. So can you just start us off in explaining what that is?
So, you know, people are always asking me, like, they kind of want to know a grade on their relationships. Like, usually they're asking me in the context of, should we be together? Do you think that our relationship is, you know, toxic, or do you think we should end it? Or, you know, they're always asking that, you know, the therapist what they think. And I've been reading a book that I just really like, and it's not that it's earth-shattering information. If you do this work as long as I have, it's not that it's all brand new information, but it's just the way this person frames some of this. The book is Secure Love by Julie. I think it's pronounced Manano.
Oh, I have that book.
Do you?
I do.
I like the book. I like the book
it's
a lot.
It's thick. It's very thick.
Have you read it?
No, I haven't read it. I've kind of, yeah, but I'm excited about it.
I have a lot of books I haven't read, but this one I actually have read. I'm reading. I am in the middle of it. And, so she talks about, she just kind of breaks it down. We're all hearing about attachment, right?
Yeah.
And I just like the way she frames it and the way that she puts words around it. But she talks about there's kind of four levels of, not four levels, think four C's of attachment. So it's comfort, connection, cooperation, and conflict. And she says that almost all couples who experience problems, they will fall into one of these four buckets. Either problems with comfort, problems with connection, cooperation, or conflict. And I think she's right. I think that's, I see that in my office too. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about, because I think it's important to know where your strengths are in the relationship and where your weaknesses are. And not to just diagnose it, but to be able to say, we can do better. And here's where we need to put some work in to make some improvement. Because the goal is to be securely attached.
Now, not a whole lot of people know that. I think for them, it's like, hey, let's just get to 50 years.
Yeah, no, the goal is to be securely attached. And couples that are securely attached, they know who their person is. They can have problems in the relationship, but the relationship's not at risk. They have disagreements and conflict, but they get through them. Mm-hmm. Right? They know how to make repair when there's a rupture. So we always think about the perfect relationship, and you look at these Instagram couples or whatever, and
boo.
We already know.
I'm just kidding.
Boo. There is no perfect relationship, but what you're going for is securely attached. That's the goal. And so how do you know if you're securely attached? And if you're not, where are you? Where could you put in some effort and work to become securely attached? So that's what I love about this. So the four C's, if you can get securely attached in these four connections, you're golden. Golden.
All right.
Then you have the real Instagram marriage.
Let's go through each one of them. What's the first C?
Comfort.
Comfort. And so what is that for people and for couples?
So that is, how well do you comfort each other when somebody's feeling emotional or physical pain?
Okay.
Right?
It kind of sounds like support, right?
Well, it can be.
Yeah.
Right? But it could also be very practical. Like, so I don't know if this, I don't know how true this is, but I had a client one time, this was many years ago. She passed out and her husband stepped over her and went on to work.
No.
Yeah. Now he said later, he's like, I didn't realize she was actually passed out. I just thought, I'm like, what? She thought she laid down in the middle of the floor and took a nap? Like,
oh my gosh.
But to her, that was so incredibly damaging, as you can imagine.
Right.
Right. Because what is the message there?
I don't care about you, whether you live or die. Like, that's so terrible.
It's like, I've got important things to do today. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Which is like, you can't rely on me. Right. So another client that I had, this one was a real injury for her too. Her car broke down. And she ended up, it was late at night, and she ended up by the side of the road. Now, this was before everybody had a cell phone, right? And so somebody stopped and took her to a gas station. She calls her husband at the gas station, and he's like, oh, I see you got the help you need. They'll fix your car. You can come home. Let me know if you need anything.
Wow.
Yeah. That, and here it was 20 or 30 years later, and she was still extremely hurt by that.
Because
what she wanted him to do was like, oh my gosh, my wife was stranded alone on the side of a highway. I'm on my way. I am coming to get you.
Yeah.
Right. In his mind, in fairness to him, in his mind, the emergency was over. She was already stranded. She was already picked up, and now she was somewhere safe. What good could he do? I mean, I can kind of see where his brain went, but I so get what she was feeling.
Yeah.
In that. And so how well do you comfort each other? And so what you're teaching each other when you're not that person is, I really am on my own. I have to figure it out on myself. And if I'm really hurting, I really am alone, because this person isn't going to have empathy for me or isn't going to understand that I am feeling so alone. So just little things, like if your partner is sick, they have the flu or they have a bad cold, you know, are you somebody that's like, you got about 25 minutes to get over this and get on with life because you're on my nerves? Or are you like, you go put your feet up, take it easy, let me get dinner tonight? So just,
wow.
Yeah. In those ways, can you comfort your partner when they're scared, when they're hurt, when they're in a situation where, you know, they might need assistance.
Yeah. You know, that's such a really, really kind point, because culturally, I know for my culture, there's a tendency to dismiss or maybe even overlook some of the realities that, you know, people can be going through. And they're like, you're not sick, or come on, I used to do this, yes, you know, twice as sick as you were, you know. It's kind of like just dismissing and invalidating. And yeah, I mean, I totally understand how someone can feel not looked after and alone, especially like in a context, in a relationship where you're supposed to, you know, hopefully feel like you're with somebody, like somebody's got your back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't have to even be like, it can just be day to day little things. Like, I've just had a hard day, you know, and it's just being willing to listen and say, hey, what's going on? I'm so sorry you had a tough day.
Yeah. So comfort practically would look like expressing care in some form or fashion, whether that's through words or whether that's through small actions, or, you know, mm-hmm, if it's getting up in the middle of the night and go getting your spouse, and, you know, that shows them that you care.
That you care. And maybe, you know, the next day you just send a text. It's like, hey, I hope you're having a better day. Right. Because you want to be that person's go-to. You want to be that person that your partner feels safe, that you're always going to be receptive. You're always going to be receptive.
That's good. All right. So let's move on to the second C. What's the second C?
The second C is connected. Connected is, oh, and I want to say this too about comfort.
Yeah.
The author says in the book, and I believe this is true too, but when you're more secure in the area of comfort, you're going to have better conflict resolution.
Hmm.
Because you're going to be able to make really quick repairs because you know your partner's safe for vulnerability. So I think that's really, comfort is a big one. Let's, you know, a lot of people will tell you they struggle with empathy, or they'll think, oh, well, I'm really good at this, this, and this. Comfort's not a big one. Comfort's a big one. They're all big. Everything's important and great until you don't have it and it becomes the most important. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Till it's the most important. But connected is, can you talk about the details of your day? And can you give emotional meanings to that, to those details? Mm. I've had many clients over the years, and when one partner's talking, they glaze over, or they'll kind of do their, spin their hand, like, get on with it. Like,
oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, what just happened? What was that? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I've heard this story before, or she just kind of drones on and on and on. She just never get, it takes her 20 minutes to tell something that should take her 3.
Hmm.
So that is a break in connection. And so I did have a client, and this one's not that long ago. I had a client, and he told me that his wife would come home at the end of the day and dump all the information of the work day to him. And he resented it. He didn't enjoy that. He felt like it was burdening him.
Oh, felt wow. Like a
burden to him. And so one of the things that I suggested was that she not just give him the details, but that she put the meaning to it. Like, yeah, so my employee came in and said this, 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 or my boss came in and said that. And so then I'd say, well, did you tell him how it made you feel? Well, no, I just told him what happened. And it's easy to kind of just be a passive observer when you're just getting all the details. But when your partner says, yeah, but I felt humiliated when my boss said that to me. Now you're inviting engagement.
Yeah.
You're asking your partner to show up with some empathy. And now they can start comforting. Now they can take that connection and bring comfort. And that's kind of a really important aspect.
Yeah. And just to pause on that, because I think that's a really good observation, is that whenever we provide meaning and we attach a feeling to it, mm-hmm, at that point, you're being vulnerable and not just giving, you know, facts and details, because we get lost in the details. Like, if there's no meaning behind it, like, what's this? Like, what does this matter to me? But if my partner's saying, oh, I was humiliated by this, I'm like, wait a second. What, you know, like, what happened? And so whenever we open up and give a feeling, attach a feeling and a meaning to facts or details. I think that's really helpful in opportunity for empathy.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And connection is, it create, like having fun together is a form of connection.
Right.
And couples lose that pretty quickly after they get together. It's amazing to me how quickly that goes away. We get so involved in our routines or our day or our work or our kids, and we forget that this is somebody that we used to have fun with. Hmm. And shared joy, having fun, is truly bonding. And that is connection. In fact, couples that have lost the spark, we kind of know in this field and with the work that we do that shared joy creates feelings of love. Hmm. So when partners feel like I'm not really feeling it for my partner anymore, one of the things we tell them is start, if you want to create love, create, experience shared joy. Like get a puppy and love on that together. If that would bring you both joy, it wouldn't in my house. That would not work. But that's what helps partners to feel really connected. And one of the responsibilities that each of us has in a relationship is to take responsibility for the love and friendship in a marriage, because that requires effort to maintain. That is not something you can coast on. You're not going to coast on that.
Yeah. And this is something you said before, like in a previous episode, I think the person that you referenced was a person named Stan, but if you want to connect, then create new experiences for one, like participate in new experiences with each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Like this RV life that my husband and I are dabbling in. Like that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Right. And when we're not trying to kill each other over parking issues or whatever, we do have a lot of shared joy.
Yeah. It gives us a chance to see our partners in different ways because of these new experiences.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is also a part of connection.
And good connection builds resilience to future stress. And every relationship is going to have a future with stress in it.
That's a fact.
The connection is putting money in the bank so you can take withdrawals later.
Yes. Emotional currency. That will help you later.
So we don't talk enough about sex, but physical connection, both sexual and non-sexual, is pretty critical to feelings of connection. And some people, and the author talks about this as well, some people feel intense emotional connection through physical touch. And that's what helps them feel valued, wanted, comforted. It soothes the nervous system. Hmm. Right? And so while we don't want to say, we don't want to encourage only physical touch to be the way to get emotionally connected, but you can't downplay the importance of it either. Because some people have very intense emotional connection through physical touch.
You know, I think a lot of people may not understand what non-sexual physical touch could look like. I mean, I've known people, you know, in sessions to where, you know, they think, oh, well, I'll just slap her butt or something like that, right? Or like give her a massage or whatever. But like, is there anything else? Like, can you just give us some examples of non-sexual touch that could really be supportive and encouraging?
Like, I love taking long walks with my husband, and he will grab my hand or just put his arm around me and hold me close, even while we're walking. It can be cuddling on the couch, watching a show together. It can be when he's driving, reach over and put your hand on his knee. Mm-hmm. It could just be patting him on the shoulder when you pass him by. If he's sitting down and you're walking past, kiss the top of his head. Women love to have their face touched normally. As soon as I say that, somebody will write in and go, oh, I hate that. I can't believe you suggested that.
Don't mess up the makeup. I'm just kidding.
No, don't mess up the makeup, maybe. But it's so intimate to touch a woman's face or to touch a man's face. So just put your hand on their cheeks when you're talking to them. That could look weird if you're not in the right place for that, but yeah. When one person feels like emotional or physical connection's lacking, so when one person feels like they're not getting enough sex, this will devastate all the other forms of attachment.
Interesting.
It's a super freaking big deal. And we have a lot of angry people in marriages right now where they're feeling like their partner won't give them or doesn't want sex as often as they do. And they don't know how to talk about it or talk through it. And it's causing divorces.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Wow. You know, there's a statistic that I read recently that out of the 50% of marriages that stay together, 80% of them are just getting through it. They're not even happy or taking joy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that the other 20% is divided into, yeah, I like it. And yes, this is amazing. And that, and there's like 5% that says, I don't really know anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, which it's is really so heartbreaking.
Nuanced, and it's so, I mean, it's so nuanced. And yeah, I can take either side of that and just debate it all day long. The person who doesn't want to have sex feeling unloved in so many other ways. So should they have to just put out because, you know, their husband or their wife treats them poorly all day long, so they should just have to put out to fulfill their duty, right?
Hmm.
Or also the one who's trying very hard, isn't perfect because no marriage is, right?
Right.
Or feeling like you can just withhold sex when you don't feel like it and your partner should just deal with it. And so it's tough. I mean, that's a tough topic. We could talk every day about it. Maybe we will. I don't know. I'm thinking about how to address the topic of sex more responsibly in the future, but it's a lot to talk about. Okay. Yeah. So the other C is cooperation. Cooperation is how well do you partner together as a team? So chores, parenting, finances, in-laws, these are the things that people fight about oftentimes when they are struggling in a relationship or they have a lot of conflict, because what happens is we put meaning to it. When our partner doesn't show up, when our partner's like, hey, I've got work to do, the kids are your responsibility. And, you know, it makes you feel like, do my needs matter to you at all? Are my opinions valued, even if I don't agree with you? Are you willing to compromise what you want for the good of the relationship or of me? Am I the one that always has to be the one to make sacrifices? And so cooperation's a big one, and it's the one that oftentimes gets the heat. Like if you're unhappy about sex, for instance, not getting enough sex, right? You'll get a lot more irritable about other areas of cooperation, and that'll end up being what you fight about. Makes sense?
Yeah, I've definitely seen that.
Mm-hmm. And couples
a lot of times.
And couples have to learn how to find the balance between being independent and dependent. Because neither one are really good. You can be too independent in a marriage and you can be too dependent in a marriage. And so you have to navigate that glorious land of interdependence. And so it's work.
Yeah.
Marriage is work. Yeah. This is why it's work.
Absolutely. And I do want to just kind of restate what you just said. That's really important for people to understand. Not a lot of people catch that there is dependence on your spouse. Like there has to be mm-hmm. some sense of, listen, I need you to show up for me, for us.
Yes. Yes. Cause you're my person.
Cause you're my person. Right. But I think a lot of people think, oh, I don't want to be codependent. So I don't need you. I'm just going to do it on my own. And then that builds resentment and conflict later. And so, but there is some sense of being yourself in the presence of someone else and them also relying on them to show up for the marriage.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the last C is conflict. How couples manage the conflict that's inevitable. And when things aren't going well, when you don't see eye to eye, how do you talk about it? When you feel distant sexually or emotionally, can you stay regulated? Can you control your emotions rather than getting overwhelmed by them? Do you get stuck in blame or shame or defense or disengagement? And can you speak respectfully to each other even when you don't agree? Big one.
That's really huge. What would be recommended for couples that maybe are having a really hard time navigating conflict? Like what would be the first, I don't know, suggestion that you would give to someone like that?
Well, I would want to know why you're like, what does it look like when you're getting in conflict? Like, is somebody getting mad and yelling and screaming? Is somebody slamming doors, walking out? Are you calling each other names, criticizing? Where, what does it look like? And then I'd find, I'd look for the pattern. So when my partner, I start to do this, I start to feel these things, I start to react in these ways. How can I calm that down? Because I can't control how my partner's going to show up. I can only control how I do. And I'm either throwing gasoline on a flame, or I'm dousing the flame, or I'm scorching the earth. And so I need to kind of figure out, how do I manage myself when my partner comes at me or in this situation to help make things better?
That's super helpful. It's an awareness of what are the feelings I'm having right now, and what is likely to happen if I were to react on these feelings.
Yes. Yes.
That's super helpful.
So yeah, that's super helpful. Those are those four C's. I felt like the author did a great job of talking about those and presenting those in a way that couples could pay attention to in a different way, because those are the four areas. If you can have secure attachment in those things, meaning we are operating mostly healthy in those four areas, then that's where your work is. If where you're struggling in those four C's, that's where your work is.
Yeah.
Right.
And just as an encouragement, you know, people, even if we don't grow up with a secure attachment, all it takes is one secure attachment to really start the
ball. Yes, it does.
Right. And it's something that we can work to build. This is not something like if we never had it, we can't ever have it. No, it's something that we can build and develop and work on. And especially if two people are super committed on doing the work.
Yes. Yes. It's an amazing thing to be able to be in a relationship with someone that kind of understands that this is the goal of where you're going together, right?
Yeah.
And willing to work their part as well. And I'm telling you, there's no stopping you as a couple. That's a power couple. People talk about power couples, right? That's a power couple, right? I know how to love my partner, and I know what I need to be loved by my partner. I need it in these four areas, babe. Conflict, cooperation, connection. Like, these are the areas, you know, show up for me here. Show me how to show up for you in these ways.
Yeah. That's good. Well, thanks, Kim. I appreciate your time today. If you guys haven't read the book yet, Julie Manano, Secure Love, it's out in stores today. But thanks, Kim. We appreciate your time.
All right. Y'all have a great week.
All right, everybody. That wraps up today's episode. And we want to thank you guys for listening and subscribing and sharing. It has been such a pleasure and such a good time chatting about relationships and being savvy in them. I've been your co-host, John Bautista. You've been listening to the Married Savvy Podcast, and we will see you in season 2 coming up early 2025. Y'all stay savvy. Peace.